आप हैं SBS हिंदी के साथ। Indian labor trickled into Australia way back from the early 19th century. Governor Lachlan Macquarie had some Indian servants who were very well treated, but there were some Australian entrepreneurs who brought servants from India way back in 1816, and some of them were treated very badly, while others were treated fairly respectfully. We are talking to Ruana Gonsalves, who is an award-winning author. She's now researching the life of the servants brought in by Governor Lachlan Macquarie and other people. So welcome to the Hindi program, Ruana.
Thank you, Kumudji. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about your research. It's most interesting. We know that Lord Macquarie served in India for a long time and he brought some servants with him here.
Yes, Governor Macquarie, before he became the governor of New South Wales, he had served in India for many years, and he had also served in Sri Lanka, or Ceylon as it was called then. Mm-hmm. He bought two little boys as slaves in 1795, and one of them went on, the five-year-old boy, George Jarvis, went on to become Macquarie's most trusted servant, his valet, his personal attendant. And so the next book I'm working on is historical fiction, looking at the early colony from the point of view of the servants, particularly George Jarvis. In the course of that research, I also found, this is all through the work of Robin Walsh, who is a historian and worked at Macquarie University for many years in the library, and then through the work of Michelle Linder at the National Maritime Museum, I found out about this whole group of servants who had been brought here by someone called William Brown, half British and half Indian himself. But he brought in many servants from Calcutta, and he treated them so badly, so appallingly, that they finally actually petitioned and went to Governor Macquarie to complain about the terrible treatment they were facing in William Brown's care. So I have in front of me a copy of the British House of Commons parliamentary paper, and it gives a description of the testimonies. It gives the testimonies, actually, of all of the Indian servants in 1819 who were in New South Wales at the time and who actually complained about William Brown. And, it's about the... It comes under that inquiry into slavery in India that was conducted in 1828 in the House of Commons, and part of that was all this description about that particular trial that happened in Sydney, where all these Indian servants complained about William Brown, their master, and the other people who were working, that they were working under. Cornelius O'Brien and many other people are named the perpetrators of terrible violence against these servants.
So what kind of violence did they perpetrate?
Yeah, so in the testimonies, I read directly from what Bhawani, a servant of Mr. Brown's, says. He says, "I have been fed upon Indian corn, contrary to my agreement. I have had plenty." But then he says, "I was at the farm when Mr. Cornelius O'Brien threatened to shoot me with a musket if I dared to leave it." There's a lot of abuse recorded by Mr. Brown against the servants. They talk about how he whipped them, beat them, and threatened to shoot them. They were regularly whipped, as many of the testimonies suggest. So Denu, who was a Muslim servant, talks about a Mr. Ward, who was working at the farm, Mr. Brown's farm, says, "Mr. Ward struck me with a club on my head." Then Benu also talks about Mr. Cornelius O'Brien ordered me out in the middle of the night to pick corn. And quite a few of them said, "I want to go away. I wanted to go away and complain to the governor, but Mr. Brown would not let me." Mrs. Brown said, "You can complain to the governor if you want. What do I care about him? He's not my master. He's just a master of thieves." and their wages were stopped in some cases. A couple of them were not even paid at all. So there are all these horrific things that happen. And the striking thing is that they all say they want to go home, their agreement is expired, they want to go home, but they're not being allowed to. And so all of this, they finally, they got together and went to the governor himself. He shielded them, he gave them shelter at Government House, and then organized for them to be transported back to Calcutta on government expense. They tried to claim it back from William Brown, but he managed to avoid paying for the return passage of these servants.
So these servants were sent back at the government expense.
Yes.
And was William Brown punished in any way?
No, he doesn't seem to have been punished at all, actually. Because in Calcutta, they said that, you know, we can't do anything because he's not in Calcutta anymore. And here in New South Wales, they couldn't do anything about it other than reprimand him, I suppose. I can't find any information about how he was punished. In fact, he said that the servants owed him money
for
all the things that he had provided to them. So there's this abstract of agreements of servants brought from Bengal by Mr. William Brown. And he lists the names of the servants, the time that they still had in his service, how long that they had agreed to be victualled, provided for, their wages per month, and the wages payable in Calcutta.
Sure.
And there's another account of balances, this is by Mr. William Brown, account of balances due by me to my Indian servants, and by them to me, separately specifying the sum I claim for passage money. So he claims a lot of money for passage from Calcutta to New South Wales, which seems to be much more than what he owes the servants.
Right.
So, yeah, the servants, you know, there's 1676 that is due by me to the servants, according to William Brown. And there's 14719 due by servants to me. It's not really very clear whether these are rupees or pounds, what the currency is, or shillings, but certainly 1,676 is a total that he owes the servants, according to his own account, but 14,719 that the servants owe him, according to...
And do you have any particular case study, Roanna, that you could tell us about?
I'm looking at the servants individually, but as part of a larger group. I'm trying to imagine what they might have been, what they might have felt, you know, coming here, being promised a certain
wage,
a certain standard of living, certain kinds of food. They were promised to be looked after, to be cared for, but they were actually physically abused, emotionally abused. So all the names are spelled slightly differently every time each name is recorded, and they're, I'm assuming, highly anglicized spellings of names from the east of India. So there's the memorial of Shamin Dongreen and of Sharu Muni that states that both these memorialists, that's Shamin Dongreen and Sharon Muni, were engaged by Mrs. Brown of Calcutta to serve her in New South Wales and have both been employed on Mrs. Brown's farm. But by reason of cruelty and ill usage on their mistress's part, they pray humbly and earnestly to be relieved. And the thing that they say is that they were asked to work in the fields, doing work that is commonly done by men in the colony. And one of them had a child who, it says in this memorial, having been put to bed of a male infant, she was ordered to return to work by Mrs. Brown on the fifth day after the child was born. Upon remonstrating that she was not sufficiently strong, Mrs. Brown withheld her victuals, thereby compelling her to go reaping. The infant lying on the ground of the storeroom, locked up, which occasioned its death at 21 days old for want of milk. And then Sharon Muni, who is the memorialist, says here, your memorialist Sharon Muni has to represent amongst a continued length of ill treatment that by having been forced to carry a large brazen vessel of great weight, she then, being heavy with child, miscarried. The next day, Mrs. Brown ordered her to work, such as carrying large logs and other loads. So, you know, there's one woman who actually lost her baby because she couldn't go in and feed the baby, was locked up, because her employers forced her to go to work 5 days after she had a child.
So there were a few women too who were brought in as servants.
There were a few women too, and they were treated really appallingly, as these testimonials show.
So on the other hand, we can say that Lachlan Macquarie was quite compassionate towards these people.
He seemed very compassionate to this group of servants, that's for sure, because he tried to recover money from William Brown to pay for their passage, their immediate return back to Calcutta. However, Mr. Brown and Mrs. Brown, his wife, didn't really feel that they owed Macquarie any sort of loyalty or any sort of... they didn't feel that he was... that they were answerable to him at all. They thought they, you know, they just felt they could do as they pleased.
That's very interesting information, Rohana. Thanks a lot.
sbs.com.au/hindi par jaye aur aise ansh ka aapki bhasha mein aanand uthaye.